I want to believe that if I trust God, that everything will just work out perfectly. But what I have found to be true is that I can trust God and things can still end up a hot mess. And I don't like that at all, to just be honest with you. I don't like it at all. Amen. Come on. Somebody in the church say amen. I don't like it. Today we're going to talk about an uncomfortable truth about trusting God. That God's plan doesn't always go according to our plan. Like we have this plan about like, okay. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to trust God. And then I think this is exactly how it's going to go. And then it doesn't go that way. But by the time we're done, I believe we're going to cover 6 chapters of Exodus. So we're going to cover a lot of ground today. And here's what I think we're going to find. That you can embrace this reality. You can embrace this mess. You can embrace the brokenness, the zigzagging roller coaster life that is sometimes trusting God, that sometimes the emotions of leaning into our faith. And you, what you're not going to find with me today is some pithy response about how God's plan is perfect even when it's not our plan. In fact, we are going to address that even the notion of this idea of a plan, we might need to rethink it. Instead, I want us to see the gritty, the messy, and the messed up story of how we can lean in and trust God even when God's plan doesn't always go according to our plan. So if you are brand new here today, we're so grateful that you're here. You jumped in right in the middle of this series where we're studying the life of Moses and the book of Exodus, which is named for the people of Israel's literal exodus from Egyptian slavery, 400 years of oppression and slavery. Moses is the guy called to help deliver them. And so we're kind of right in the middle of that story. They're not free yet. That's not where we're at in the story. But they're getting close to where Moses is going to go before Pharaoh. And that's kind of what we're going to look at today. So we're grateful for you here. You can go back and watch all the last 3 weeks to catch up to today. I want to say something here at this point as we talk about God's plan, and I hope you'll stick with me, because the Exodus story and Moses reveals something probably better than any other story, and this makes people really nervous when I say something like this, okay? So this might make you nervous. And there would be some people, I have pastor friends who would disagree with this statement, and I would just tell them, man, I love you, but I think you might not have read Exodus. So here it is, okay? I'm going to say something that might make you really nervous. Talk about this. I'm not sure. God's plan doesn't always go according to our plan. Here's what I want to say. I'm not sure God's plan always goes according to God's plan. I'm going to let that just hang for a minute. All right. Before you accuse me of heresy, okay, let me ask. And before you like, type Carter.McInnes at. Let me ask this. Was it God's plan for Adam and Eve to destroy the harmony between heaven and earth by bringing sin into the world? Was it God's plans for humanity to be so wicked that God had to start over with Noah's family? Was it God's plans that Joseph's brothers would sell him into slavery and lie to their father Jacob? Was it God's plan that his people would be put in slavery for 400 years in Egypt? Is that God's plan? I don't think so. Now, some people would disagree, but here's what I just don't think that matches the witness of Scripture. Here's where I think we see God's plan. Genesis 1. At the very end of creation, where God makes humans last. And you know what he says about it? It's very good. It's very good. Here's where we see God's plan. Revelation 22. where that very goodness is restored, where the order of creation is restored, where heaven and earth meet again, and there are no more tears and no more pain and no more crying. And can you believe it? There's no more death, just like in Genesis 1. And everything in between, from Genesis 2 to Revelation 21, all the chapters in between, the very first chapter of the Bible and the last chapter of the Bible, there is this pain, this heartache, this ache of the curse of sin, of the curse of the brokenness of the world, namely brought about by human free will, which, you guessed it, isn't always aligned with God's plan. Our wills break up and mess up the earth. And the story of Exodus and Moses is so powerful because I believe it wants to release us from this idea of a plan. This thing that we call a plan. And this idea of a plan, that things got to go, you know, it's all God's plan, it's all just God's plan. This can lead to some really bad theology. This can lead to some really bad church hurt. This can lead to some really bad thinking. In fact, this is one of the biggest myths of the Christian faith. And guys like mine, right, guys in positions like mine have said, if you just trust God, everything will be okay, everything will be okay, everything will be okay. There's a word for that. It's called prosperity theology. And it used to be, like, if you just trust God, you'll get rich. Right? We'd have to build another parking deck, right, is what we'd have to do. If that was true, because we all know that that's not always true. And now it doesn't really mean that. Now it's sort of like, if you just trust God, everything will work out, everything will be okay. Everything will just kind of align in the end, and you'll have no trials, you'll have smooth sailing, and everything will be okay. It's all just part of God's plan. Just trust God's plan. Don't worry. And something, you know, oh, no, just keep going in. It's God's plan, it's God's plan, it's God's plan. It's all just part of the plan. It's all just part of the plan. And then somebody gets cancer. Or you walk into work one day and you get laid off. You didn't see it coming. Or a teenager dies in a car wreck. Or a divorce shatters a family right into. Was that God's plan? This week, I talked to a woman who was one of my former church members of the church I pastored a couple churches ago. And she and her husband, both in their 50s, went on a Mediterranean cruise to celebrate their anniversary. And on the first day of their cruise, he had a whitewater rafting excursion with some friends and died in a horrific accident on their cruise. Is that God's plan? What kind of God has plans like that? See, maybe that's not exactly how it works. What if instead, what I think we see through the scriptures is something a little different than this idea that God is mapping out this detailed plan and ordering everything that happens that doesn't take into account the brokenness of our world and our own free will and the things that just get messed up because it's a messy world? What if God, instead of a plan, has a purpose? And a purpose is very different than this mapped out, detailed plan. Purpose, God has given us the gift of freedom, but purpose says that I will adapt my plan to fulfill my purpose. God's purposes then cannot be thwarted. God has told Moses, I have got a purpose for you. I've got a purpose in you. I've got a purpose to work through you. And God has even told Moses to this point in the story, and I'm just going to tell you, Moses, things probably aren't going to go according to plan. I want you to go to Pharaoh, and I want you to tell him to let my people go. But I'm just telling you, Moses, it's probably not going to work. It's probably, that's what I want you to do. I've got it kind of planned out, but I don't think it's probably not going to work, because I just know him. He's not going to want to let his free labor force go. It's almost as if he is telling Moses right from the outset, we're going to have to adapt the plan along the way, but don't worry, I've got a purpose. I've got a purpose, and the plans might have to shift, and the plan might have to change, and we might have to go to plan B, C, D, E, or F. But the purpose isn't going to change. I've got a purpose, Moses. I'm going to work through you. And then he gives Moses a gift in the middle of the purpose. He gets personal. He gives to Moses something that he has not given to anyone else ever in the history of earth. He tells him his name, Yahweh. In the burning bush scene, he says, I am that I am. And this Hebrew word for it is Yahweh. If you ever heard that word thrown around church or sung in a worship song, it's this word that's so holy, this name of God. It's as if Moses is, it's as if God is saying to Moses, Moses, listen, I don't want you to put your faith and your hope and your trust in the plan. I want you to put your trust in me. I want you to trust in my name. Because when the plan falls apart, Moses, when the plan falls apart, I want you to trust in me, in a name, no matter what. And look here, friends. Here's a lesson for us from Moses. If you are trusting in a detailed plan of how you think your life is going to play out because you put your faith in God, can I just go ahead and tell you, you are going to be severely disappointed. Because there are twists and turns that none of us can see coming. This wife that I talked to this week, she said to me, my family will never be the same again. And there are just things, life happens. But here's what I can tell you. You can put your trust in the name, and you will never, ever be let down. That's what Moses does in Exodus chapter 5. That's where we're going to start. We're going to cover six chapters. When he walks in to the chamber room, the throne room of Pharaoh, with the confidence of someone who stands in the name of God, he comes in with the support of the elders of Israel, who are like, we're all behind you, let's go forward. He comes with his brother Aaron standing by his side, who God has given him for a partner of ministry. And Moses goes up to Pharaoh, and he name drops the biggest name drop in the history of name drops. Listen to what it says in Exodus 5, right at the very start. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what the Lord. Now listen, if you got your Bibles open, if you're at home and you got your Bible open, the app open, here's just kind of just a little study Bible thing that you can learn. That whenever in your translation, it'll say the Lord, and it's L-O-R-D is capitalized often. That means that in the original Hebrew, it's saying Yahweh. All right. Some translations, Yahweh translated into Greek is Jehovah, which is why how we get that term Jehovah, and I think the old King James Version actually uses Jehovah there. So if you ever heard that name Jehovah, it's just a translation of the Hebrew Yahweh. So he says, this is what Yahweh, the God of Israel, says, let my people go. Except it's probably more like, let my people go, right? It's an awesome moment, so that they may hold a festival for me, to me, in the wilderness. You have done and gone messed with the wrong God, Pharaoh. Let Yahweh's people go. And the next line absolutely cracks me up. My family is big Marvel fans. Anybody else Marvel fans? Yeah, we're big Marvel. But if you're not a movie and you don't do superhero thing, that's okay. The funniest of the Marvel groups is this group called the Guardians of the Galaxy. And Pharaoh's response, whenever I read this, I'm like, It reminds me of this scene from the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ninja Turtle, you better stop poking me.
What is your name?
My name is Peter Quill, okay? Dude, chill out.
Move!
Why?
Ronan may have questions for you.
Hey, you know what? There's another name you might know me by.
Star-Lord. Who?
Well, Star-Lord, man. Legendary outlaw. Guys?
Move!
Now forget this.
Have you ever name dropped and it didn't work? Can you imagine this? I come in the name of Yahweh. And Pharaoh's, this is his answer. He goes, who? Who is the Lord? But if you were to read that in the original Hebrew, it'd be like, who is Yahweh? That I should obey him and let Israel go. I do not know Yahweh. Never heard of him. And I will not let Israel go. I mean, Pharaoh is like, never met him. What do you guess? And then listen to these two guys. This is hilarious. Moses and Aaron. They're like, then they said, the God of Hebrews has met with us. We have met with Yahweh. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. They're like, now he'll listen. Now, you know, we've met with him. You know, we face to face, we met with this Yahweh. But Pharaoh says this, but the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, time is money. Time is money, guys. Why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look at the people of the land. There's so many of them, and you are stopping them from working. Did you guys really have a powwow and thought that this would work, that you would come name some god that I've never heard of, and I would just be like, sure, please take all my million slaves. Let them go. Did you guys really think that this would work? And have you ever done something that you think you just knew God had compelled you to do, God had told you to do, you were certain that God was in it, and other people were certain you were off your rocker? Have you? I mean, we just want to believe that if we just lean in and we trust God, that everyone would get it. But have you just ever felt like you were trusting God and others? Well, they weren't so sure. Here's what I just want to tell you. People won't get it. If you're in this series and you're like, I've been leaning into something, I've been trying to trust God, I've been trying to take a step of faith, here's just what I just want to tell you. I wish I could tell you that everybody would give you a round of applause. But there will be people in your life who won't get it. Sometimes it will be adversaries. Sometimes it will be people who are not people of faith. And friends, can I just tell you, sometimes it will be well-meaning Christians. People just won't always get it. If you are trusting in and you're leaning God, and the good thing is that, I mean, we have the Word of God to know that we're being obedient to Scripture, but sometimes we take steps of faith to be obedient to Scripture and people still don't get it. It's just the way it is. So Pharaoh, he's like, listen, y'all must be bored if these are the ideas y'all are coming up with. You must not have enough work to do. So he's like, I got to come up with an idea to give these people some more stuff to do. So he commands his slave drivers. He says, listen, I don't want you to provide straw for them anymore to make the bricks that they're to be making. That's one of their main jobs because those pyramids aren't going to build themselves, right? And he's like, they have to keep getting all the straw. They have to keep building all the bricks that they're making, but they got to go get their own straw. And he sends this word to the Israelites and the slave drivers. This is what he tells them, but your productivity can't go down. I'm going to increase your workload because now some of the goods that you need to make the bricks, you've got to go gather those yourselves. But your quota for how many bricks you're to make in a day has got to stay the same. Because you obviously don't have enough to do if you were coming up with wild ideas that I should free you because you're coming at me with a name I've never heard of. You need to be busier. And he tells the slave drivers, and if they don't do it, if they don't meet the quota, if they don't meet the numbers, I want you to beat them. And when the Israelites, when they are, you know, when they come up against this, they go to Pharaoh and they're like, we can't do it. It's too many bricks. It's too much work. Why did you put this on us? And he's like, well, you need to talk to the two, you know, leaders, Moses and Aaron. They came up with me this wild idea. That's why I had to do this. And this is what it says in Exodus. When they left Pharaoh, the Israelites, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh, and his officials have put a sword in their hand to kill us. It's your fault, Moses. And I want you to listen to Moses' prayer. After doing what God told him to do, what God commanded him to do, and getting zero results, Moses returned to the Lord. And he said, why? Have you ever had a season where you felt like you weren't seeing the results that you thought you should see when you trusted God and you weren't seeing God respond? How you leaned into God and put your faith in God, but you felt like God wasn't coming through? Have you ever had a season where you looked up at the heavens and said, why? Why? Why, Lord? Why have you brought trouble on this people? Is this why you sent me? So that they will hate me? So that their work will be worse? Ever since I went to speak to Pharaoh in your name, might I add, he has brought trouble on this people. And you have not rescued your people at all. Ever since I've done what you told me to do, ever since I've done what you said, ever since I trusted you, you have been no help at all. Have you ever felt that way? Like you did everything God asked you to do, and then? Crickets. Nothing. Silence. If you've ever felt that way, this story should encourage you. You're not the first. And God says something so fascinating next to Moses and so important. He says, you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. I've heard the cries of my people, and I'm going to redeem them with my outstretched arms and mighty acts of my judgment against Egypt. I have made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to deliver their people and their descendants into the land that I promised them. And I am going to fulfill my purpose in them. But then God adds this to Moses. But then God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Yahweh, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. Hey, Moses, I only made it known to you. Moses, this plan is going to get crazy. It's going to go sideways. It is not going to be a straight line. But don't trust in a plan. Don't trust in details. Trust in the purpose that I have in you. Trust in the personal relationship you have with me. Trust in a name. I know that that doesn't make sense. I know it is hard right now, but Moses, this is what trust is all about, and isn't that true for us? Trust is tested when it's tough to trust. It's easy to trust when it's easy, but trust is really tested when it's tough to trust. But isn't this true of you? Come on, isn't this true of you? Because I know it's true of me. This is where our faith grows, right? This is where our faith grows. When it's tough to trust and God comes through. When it's tough to trust and God delivers. When it's tough to trust and God fulfills his purpose in us. And what he's saying is, I want you to lean into me. I want you to trust in my name. And I just want you to see what will happen, Moses. Just see what will happen. Well, then, the funny thing about this is whenever you read one of these and you feel like the tide is about to turn, one of these pivotal moments in Exodus, this is why it's such a fascinating read. It never quite turns the way you think. Moses has this moment. Moses goes. He reported this to the Israelites. And he's like, guys, I have met with Yahweh again. He has told us to put our trust in his name because he has made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we should placeth our trusteth in him forevermoreth. But they did not listen to him. They're like, in the words of Randy Jackson, yeah, it's going to be a no from me, dog. I don't think so. You see how many bricks I have to make in a day? Because of their discouragement and harsh labor. Moses is exasperated. He goes back to God and he's like, what am I supposed to do? How in the world is Pharaoh ever going to listen to me if my own people won't listen to me? Because Moses has bought into a lie that we want to believe about obedience that I started with today, that it is not true. So if you can embrace this, your life will be so much better and your faith will be richer and you will be able to take steps of faith. Obedience does not equal easy. Obedience does not mean everything will be smooth waters. Obedience does not mean everything will be a straight path. Obedience is not always easy. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's true, doesn't mean it's right, doesn't mean it's what's best. So God says, Moses, I want you and Aaron to go and be my mouthpieces. I want you to go to Pharaoh. Don't worry about your doubts. Don't worry about your fears. Don't worry about what the people said. It's going to get harder, Moses, because in fact, the signs that I am going to do through you, which are going to literally blow your mind, and you're going to be like, surely this will work, and they are not going to make a dent in Pharaoh. In fact, I'm going to make his heart so hard that when he finally does relent, there's a purpose in this. When he finally does relent, not only Pharaoh, but everyone in Egypt and everyone on planet Earth will know that there is a God in Israel. So just do what I tell you to do. Just trust me. So Moses and Aaron go back to Pharaoh, and they go through these litany of miracles and signs, and then eventually plagues. Exodus 7, they go before him and they do the first kind of miracle, miraculous trick. He throws his staff down and it turns into a snake before Pharaoh. But guess what? Pharaoh's magicians do the exact same thing. They throw their staffs down and they turn into snakes. And Moses is like, well, that didn't go how I planned, but okay, here we go. So it's like, well, there's going to be a plague. And there's a plague that comes. And Moses turns the Nile River into blood through the power of God. And guess what? The magicians for Egypt do the exact same thing. Well, that didn't work. So then Moses turns through God, he brings frogs in Exodus 8. Frogs come up out of the Nile and they cover up over all of Egypt and they die and it smells terrible in Egypt. And this is the first time that we begin to see something happen, that Pharaoh has this back and forth where he's like, please pray to your God that the frogs will go away. And Moses is like, okay, I'll do it. And then he goes away and Moses is like, psych, I'm not going to let you go. I know I told you I was, but I'm not going to. And this goes on and on, the same conversation over and over again. But here's the interesting thing. The frogs, the magicians do the same thing. Is this God is really as powerful as we think he is? And then through Moses and Exodus, they bring gnats in Exodus 8. But the magicians can't do the gnats, and their tricks are over. And then God brings flies. And then God kills all the livestock. And then God brings boils to all the people of Egypt. The boils are so bad, they're on the bottom of their feet. The magicians can't even stand, it says. And then God brings hail. In fact, this is the first time that Pharaoh says, like, listen, I've sinned. We're in the wrong. Please pray to your God that this hail and this thunderstorm would stop, and we will let you go. And Moses does it again, and Pharaoh lies again. And then the Lord brings locust. Have you noticed the bugs are getting bigger? Yes. But Pharaoh doesn't relent. He lies again. And then there's darkness. And the whole land is covered with darkness and everything. And this is the tipping point. And Pharaoh has had enough. This time he says, Moses, don't ever come before my quarters again. Don't ever come in my chamber. If I see your face again, Moses, you are a dead man. But something has happened over the course of these nine plagues. Moses and Israel, they're getting stronger. Because when the flies cover Egypt, they don't make their way to the Israelite camps. When the livestock of the Egyptians die, death doesn't make its way to the Israelite camps. When the locusts cover Egypt, it doesn't. They are finding that their God is going to fulfill his purposes. And Moses seems more confident than ever. Though it seems like Pharaoh will never yield, but Egypt's sin, which began with a Pharaoh killing every firstborn son in Israel, Israel's sin finally finds its way to their own front door with Moses' proclamation of a gritty and grisly final plague. So Moses said, don't worry, you'll never see me again. Listen to this. You're not going to believe this. This is the guy who was like, I'm not good talking in front of people. Please send somebody else. The same guy. Listen to this guy. This is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there has ever been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any person or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. And I love this. And all these officials of yours, they're going to come bow before me. So they're going to beg me and the God of Israel to stop. Go, you and all the people who follow you. After that, I will leave. And then Moses, hot with anger, leaves Pharaoh. He's a different person. He's not afraid to talk. He doesn't need Aaron. He is not intimidated. He stands before Pharaoh with boldness, with courage and strength. He stands with no intimidation before the most powerful man in the world because Moses has finally figured out that Pharaoh is indeed not the most powerful man in the world. He is. Because he is the one who speaks in the name of Yahweh, the God of Israel, and not the false gods of the Egyptians. He has learned something that all of us have to learn as we face trials and when the plan seems to fall apart, that who you stand with is greater than what you stand against. Who you stand with is greater than what you stand against. And you might stand against shame or doubt or fear or guilt. You might stand against an adversary that wants you to feel defeated or hopeless or powerless. You stand against the powers of this world and the frailties of this life. You stand against sin and the weight of your past mistakes. But who you stand with is greater than what you stand against. You stand with the God of the angel armies. You stand with the creator of heaven and earth. You stand with Yahweh, the great I am that I am. You stand with the resurrection authority and the Holy Spirit power of God. You stand with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You stand in the name of Jesus the Christ. Come on, church. You stand with Jesus. You stand with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth. You stand with the one who was and is to come. What you are against is no match for who you stand with. And I don't know what you're going through. And it may feel like the plan is absolutely falling apart. But don't you forget, who you stand with is greater than what you stand against. So would you just say, I don't know how, but Lord, I trust you. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you give us the strength of Moses? Would you transform us with that kind of courage to stand before the powers and principalities of this world? In the name of Jesus, our God, our Savior. I pray for my friends who are going through some stuff, Lord, in this room, watching online, that nobody knows about. The plan has fallen apart. Would you give them strength to stand with you? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to close with a new song. I want to invite you to stand and sing. You may not know it. Listen to these words, though. They're so powerful. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you're welcome to do that. Let's stand.